Joining us now, she is a Symmetra Tour player. She's a Charlatan, and she's also been in studio twice when I haven't been here. So officially, she's my replacement.
Yeah.
Allison Emery joins us again. Allison, welcome back into the golf shop.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm sure she's eyeing my job right now, but I'm going to take you right off the reservation. So in the tournaments that you've traveled to so far, what's the most fun thing you've been able to do other than play good golf?
Oh, gosh. Well, last year in Rochester, I was able to go on a sailboat, huge sailboat, and there was a race. And so that was really cool. This year, up in Harris, I love Harris. There's a casino, so I played a little bit of blackjack. I'm not a huge gambler, but that was fun.
Now, don't you know you're supposed to play craps and not blackjack? The money and the fun is at the craps table. Trust me.
You know, it's so confusing, though. I watched it for about an hour, and I could not tell you one thing I learned.
You know what? Then I would stick with roulette. Roulette is easy to understand. It's social because it takes a while to lose your money. Which is one of the things I like. Well, all right, so you're in your sophomore year out on tour. What have you noticed that's different about being out there for a second year? I mean, are you more comfortable? Is it nice to see some of these places and people again? How does your second year feel different than your first year did?
Well, it's definitely way more comfortable. You're going to a lot of the same courses, so you already are prepared. You have your yardage book from last year, and you can look back and see what you did. And then you're staying with the same host families, hopefully. You know, it's just a comfortable environment. You already know what food is in the town, where the course is. So I definitely feel way more at ease than I did last year.
Well, and you had a run in April and May, and I guess the early part of June, where you picked up your four top tens, but you also had three cuts. So what about those courses made it? Did going back a second time to any of those courses help you en route to those top tens?
Oh, definitely. Some of the courses that I played well on, I played well on last year. And so I just tried to remember how I did last year and just take one shot at a time. And the courses that I didn't play well on last year, I tried to kind of get revenge on the course. So I was happy with the four top tens. Obviously, the three miscuts were unfortunate. But I feel like my game's in a good spot. And from last year, I learned that honestly, it's not about playing consistently well and just making the cuts. You really have to have the top 10s and the top 5 to get in the top 10 on tour. You have to win and you have to consistently be in the top 10. So missing a cut here and there, I feel like is okay if I'm able to the next week jump up into the top 10.
Yeah, so consistent earning is more important than going out there and you know, avoiding a missed cut. Because finishing last after missing the cut or near the bottom, I mean, that doesn't, I don't know, those two extra days of practice might be better than the money you get from that, correct?
Exactly. And so it doesn't look great missing the cut, but, you know, every week I'm trying to win. So if that means missing a cut here and there, getting bad bounces for going for pins, then I'll take it. So hopefully I'll get a win soon.
Yeah, I mean, and we've looked at this for a couple of years now, the transition between first and second year players, and it seems like the big key is to make it to your second year. Like, figure out when you're coming out of amateur golf or college golf and you say, okay, I'm going to give this a whirl, really plan on 2 years on the Symmetra Tour, the Web.com Tour. But then when you get up to the big tour, man, just got to get to that second year. You've got to do well enough to not get bumped back down. Do you feel like that is the same for you, you know, now heading into your second year, that the advantages were so much greater that it makes sense? And do you expect to have the same attitude on the LPGA Tour?
Oh, I think so. You see so many girls that go up to the LPGA who are great players, and it's completely different. I mean, they try to make it very similar to the LPGA, but it's not. It's so much bigger out on the LPGA, and it's very overwhelming. So if it takes me another year on Symmetra just to get used to traveling and professional golf, and that helps me next year on the LPGA, then I'll take another year on Symmetra. But obviously the goal is to get to the LPGA and be able to keep your card year after year.
All right, so I'm going to continue the role reversal. Mike's asking all these really serious golf questions. So I'm just going to go the other direction and say, you know, all right, so what do you do to kill time when you're not playing, when you take a week off? Or what do you do to kill time during the week of the event, you know, at night? I mean, how do you distract yourself to maybe shut the brain down from all the golf?
Yeah, so at tournaments, I try to either read or watch shows on Netflix or TVs or go to the movies. I try to do something to not be outside because usually it's typically hot at our tournaments. So try to do something inside, maybe go shopping. And then at night, I try to wind down before bed, either reading or watching a TV show.
And is it important for you to shut it down? Because you do see players who don't bother. I mean, every second they're not playing or practicing, they're on the range. And then they're analyzing their game. And then they don't leave the golf course. Now, player dining is lovely, but you got to get something else to eat once in a while.
Yes, definitely. I try to find a local restaurant. For me, I'm a field player, and I like to play the course. So I don't sit on the range for hours. I do a couple putting drills, chip for a little bit, hit for, you know, 30 minutes, and then I'm gone. I don't want to be at the course all day, every day, because I feel like you do need that time away or you'll go crazy.
All right, so I'm going to continue to dig into the mind of Allison Emery here on the social side of
things.
It's
a scary place.
So are you the kind of person that, like Mike said, I mean, you do have to get away from player dining every once in a while. Are you a chain restaurant person, or do you try and find, like, the local dive restaurant to go to?
Oh, I would say maybe one night I would go for a local restaurant, but typically before the tournament, I try to go to a chain restaurant because you know what you're getting.
Yeah, there's consistency in the menu.
Recommended.
All right, so looking back at the first half of this schedule, and, you know, you had your four top tens, and you only had one top ten last year, so it's great. Of course, you had to miss this year's home game in Charlotte with the Symetra Classic moving to Atlanta, right?
I know. Oh, I loved that event, and I loved being able to stay at home, and I love Charlotte so much, and all the players loved Charlotte, so it was a little sad, you know, just bummer that we don't have a tournament in Charlotte anymore. So hopefully next year we'll get it back.
Yeah, there's talks of whether it will come back and when it does, where, and all those kinds of things. We're thinking about it. We're thinking about it because we miss having you guys here. And so when you project forward for the second half of the season, you said you knew the courses where you played well last year and you knew what to expect, and you tried to minimize the errors on the courses where you didn't play well. You tried to beat those courses. Tell us a little bit about what you're looking forward to in the second half of the season, where we might see you repeat good rounds and where we might see you really trying to overcome something that you struggled with last year.
Yeah, well, so our next event in French Lick, Indiana, is a new event. So hopefully I can do well there. I really liked the course up in Rochester and played well there last year. So I'm looking forward to going back. And hopefully I can play better in South Dakota. That's a big purse event, 4 days. And hopefully I can just learn from last year and try to hit the ball a little lower because it gets pretty windy out there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, you start looking at stats and putting, and we all know that it usually comes down to putting. I mean, for the most part, a lot of these golf courses, they're not going to have, you know, 6-inch rough that you're dealing with. And I've been picking on the USGA because I think they've been kind of slacking off on rough these days. But, you know, it does come down to putting. What's kind of your best putting drill that you like to do that really kind of gets you into a good rhythm on the greens?
Yeah, so I like to do an around-the-world putting drill just from various distances inside 10 feet once I get to the course, just to learn what speed I need to be hitting in, the left-to-righters or the right-to-left putts. And then after each round, I do a drill where you make 50 three-footers, and then you make 10 out of 10 from 6 feet, and then 9 out of 10 from 9 feet. And so you really just see the ball going in the hole a lot. And I feel like that's good mentally to prepare yourself for the next day.
And when you look back at your scoring this year, for example, is it putting where you think, I could have made up a stroke or two or three that week with my putting? Or do you ever look and say, okay, I could have made up a stroke here or there with better sand play, or better from just outside the collar off the green. Have you taken the time to look at that, and then do you begin working on that specific task?
Yes. So right now, I'm really trying to work on chipping and make sure my chips get inside 5 feet from anywhere. So I definitely have a chance for par and take the pressure away from my putting. Because typically if I get it up and down, I'll hit an okay chip and then make a 10-footer for par. So I put a lot of pressure on my putting. And obviously you can always make more putts. So just make more birdie putts here and there. Just even one putt around is for 3 to 4 strokes for the tournament, which could be the difference between making the cut or missing the cut or winning the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, so when you look at that at chipping, is it a complete every possible kind of chipping, or is it the chip it up and roll it out, or is it the chip it up and hold the green? I mean, what kind of chipping do you work on most, and what do you find most difficult, to stop the ball near the hole, with a high shot and back it up, or one that's rolling out to the right distance?
Yeah, I would say the pitches are tough from 25 to 35 yards, just off the green, like on a par 5 if you go for it in 2. I find that those can be challenging, and also out of the bunker. My stats out of the bunker are not too great, but I think some of it is misleading because I go 2 rounds and I'm not in a bunker. And so then when I get in one and I don't get it up and down, it's 0%. So I'm trying to take that with a grain of salt, but also work on the bunker shots.
So what's it going to take the rest of the year for us to see you on the LPGA Tour next year?
I think I just need to figure out how to play super well the last day. I'm putting myself in contention, and I just haven't been able to close on the final day. So I think just staying relaxed, staying in the moment, and taking it one shot at a time, and I really feel like I can be right there.
So it's for you. I mean, it's definitely more being in the right mindset. It's not a fatigue issue.
No, I don't think so. I feel like I definitely learned a lot last year as far as taking it easy, telling when my body's tired, when I need to push a little bit harder. And so I feel like it's a little bit of a mental issue, I guess, and a little hurdle that I need to get over that I know I will.
All right, so let's say it happens up in French Lick and, you don't have any friends or family there. Who gets the first phone call? Or second, after me. Who gets the second phone? Who gets the first phone call?
Probably my parents or my boyfriend.
That's good. I'm holding you to it. Mom or dad. Not both, not parents. Who gets the call?
Wow.
Whose phone rings?
Feet to the fire.
Probably mom.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, Allison, we're really looking forward to getting you out on the LPGA Tour. We really like to interview LPGA Tour players, so it's just that much better when we get to do that, and we're looking forward to that. So, head down, go to a few dive restaurants up in the next couple of tour stops, and check them out. They're not so bad.
I will. Thank you so much.